Hi, my name is Trevor Sullivan, a Microsoft MVP for Windows PowerShell and an independent consultant working with the Microsoft Azure Public Cloud Platform and Windows PowerShell Automation. I wanted to take a few minutes today to show you how to manage Azure Storage from PowerShell. PowerShell has two different modules for Azure. There's the Azure Service Management module and there's the Azure Resource Manager module. Each of those modules targets a different REST API, but it's still Azure on the back end. In this case, we're going to take a look at the Azure Resource Manager mode. So what we're going to do is call the switch Azure mode command and then tell it that we want to switch over to the Azure Resource Manager mode. So what this is going to do is unload the Azure PowerShell module that targets the Service Management API, and it's going to load the Azure Resource Manager module that allows us to interface with the ARM REST API. So now that I've loaded the Azure Resource Manager module, I can obtain a list of commands that show me what I can do with the storage subsystem in Azure. So I'm going to go ahead and use the built-in PowerShell command called get command, and this allows me to dynamically discover all of the PowerShell commands that allow me to target a specific feature. So in this case, I'm going to tell it that I want to list out all the commands from within the Azure Resource Manager module, and I want all commands that have storage in the name. So when you do this, you can see that there's a lot of different commands that allow us to manage Azure storage. There's commands to get information, to create new entities in Azure, to remove or delete entities, and to make updates or set entities in Azure. So in this case, I'm going to start out by listing out all of my Azure storage accounts. To do that, I'm going to call the get Azure storage account command. And a storage account in Azure is a top-level node that has a globally unique name, and it has a public DNS accessible endpoint that allows us to interface with the storage subsystem. So if I run get Azure storage account, you'll see that I get a list back of storage accounts inside my Azure subscription. Now, as of right now, I don't have any storage accounts available to me, but I can go ahead and create a new one. So in the Azure Resource Manager module, every single entity must be provisioned inside of what's called a resource group. So in this case, we have to specify a resource group name, and if we don't have one, we can create one by calling new Azure Resource Group. We can specify the name of the resource group, such as storage testing, and then we need to specify an Azure region or an Azure location to create that resource group. So once that resource group is created, I basically have this empty container that I can start deploying storage resources into. So I'm going to use my new resource group called Storage Testing to provision this new storage account. The storage account I'm going to create is called Fort Collins 2. Now, there's several different types of storage accounts. We have premium storage, so premium locally redundant storage, or LRS. We have geo-redundant storage, standard local redundant storage, read access geo-redundant storage, and zone redundant storage. Now, I'll leave it up to you to go research what these different types of storage are, but in this case, I'm just going to create a standard locally redundant storage account. I also have to specify an Azure region to provision the storage account in. So I'm going to choose the West US region. So when I hit the F8 key in the PowerShell ISE to create this new storage account, it's going to go out to the Azure Resource Manager API. It's going to go inside that storage testing container or resource group that I created, and it's going to instantiate this new storage account. Now, in order to manage entities within that storage account, such as NoSQL tables or queues or blob containers or Azure Files shares, I need to get what's called a storage context. And the storage context is basically the entity or the .NET object that allows us to authenticate directly to the storage account service rather than invoking the Azure Resource Manager REST APIs. So basically, anytime that you're interfacing with the storage subsystem, you're going to want to get this storage context. So to do that, what I need to do is get the Azure storage key. And each storage account has two keys. There's a primary and a secondary key. And those keys allow us to authenticate to the storage account and perform operations against it. So I'm going to call the get Azure storage account key command, and then I'll specify the resource group name that contains the storage account and the storage account itself. So those parameters are going to be the exact same as the storage account itself. So inside the storage testing resource group, I have a storage account called Fort Collins 2. And I'm going to assign the result of that command to a variable. Now, once I have that storage account key, I can then create the storage context. And to do that, I'll use the new Azure storage context command. And you'll see that it asks for the storage account name. So in this case, it's going to be Fort Collins 2. And then it's going to ask for the storage account key. Well, I have the key stored in this variable called key, and the key 1 and key 2 basically are the primary and secondary keys. So in this case, I'm just going to choose to use key 1, the primary key, and I'll assign the result to a variable called storage context. So now that I've created the storage context, I can begin invoking operations against it. For example, one of the core operations you might perform is to create a blob container. Once you create the blob container, you can then upload files from your local file system up to that blob container. So I'm going to call new Azure storage container, and you'll see that there's a parameter called context. So at this point, once we've created the storage account, in order to manage any of those entities inside that storage account, we're going to pass in the context parameter, and we're going to pass in that storage context object that we created on line number 12. So we can create a blob container. Let's just call it uploads. And then you can also optionally set a permission. By default, it's set to private, so nobody can publicly access your blobs in your storage account. So we're just going to leave that parameter off, or you can specify permission off, which is a little bit redundant because that is the default value. So once you've created that blob storage container, you can then create blobs inside of there. So we're actually going to upload a file from our local file system up to that blob container. Now to do that, there's a command called set Azure storage blob content. So basically, we're going to grab the content of a local file and upload it to that blob container. So I'm going to pass in the context, which is my storage context, and I'm going to pass in the container name, which is uploads, and then I'm going to specify the path to a file on the local file system. So in this case, I'll say c temp, and I've got a PS1 file that I can use to upload. Now you'll also notice that you can specify the type of blob that you want to upload. So Azure has two different types of blobs. There's block blobs and page blobs. Now, generally, we're going to just use block blobs, but page blobs are used for things like VHDs, which are virtual hard disks that are stored in the cloud, and that allows us to store VHDs, sparsely, which basically means that we only pay for the actual amount of storage we're using, not the full provisioned disk size. In any case, most of the time you're going to deal with block blobs. You can also optionally specify a name for the blob. So instead of using the file name that we are uploading, we can also specify to the platform that we want to change the name of the file when it's uploaded to Azure Storage. So I'm just going to call this file blobtest.ps1, and what you'll see happen is this function test.ps1 file actually gets uploaded to blobtest.ps1. So let's go ahead and hit F8 here and run that command, and as you can see, it successfully uploaded the file to Azure Blob Storage. Now, if you want to validate that that blob was correctly uploaded, we can call the command called get Azure Storage Blob. And rather than actually downloading the blob, what we're going to do is we're basically just going to list all of the blobs that are contained within the container that we specify. So, very similar to the other commands, we're going to specify our context, our authentication to that storage account. We're going to specify the container name, which again is uploads. And then we're not going to specify a specific blob. We're just going to call this and list out all of the blobs inside that container. So, as you can see, when we run that command, we get back a single blob, and that's the blob that we created. So now we want to delete the blob out of the storage account, or blob container rather. And so I'll call the remove Azure Storage blob command, pass in that context, pass in the container name, and then I'll pass in the blob name, which is blobtest.ps1. So when I run this command, you'll see that it runs successfully, no exception is thrown. And if I go ahead and go back to line number 18 and call get Azure Storage blob, you'll see that it returns null. There are no blobs inside of that container. So this is just a very brief introduction to creating and managing blobs inside of Azure Blob Storage using the Azure Resource Manager API from the Azure Resource Manager PowerShell module. Again, my name is Trevor Sullivan, a Microsoft MVP for Windows PowerShell. You can visit me online at trevorsullivan.net or at Twitter at PCGeek86. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.